You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. Ahead of the fourth round fixtures in the FA Cup, Dave Kellner in the studio, joined on the line now by Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin, who are going to pick out the best bets ahead of the fourth round for you. First of all, a warm welcome to Derek McGovern. How are you doing, sir?
Very well, very well. Really looking forward to getting my teeth into these FA Cup ties, as you well know.
I know, Derek. You live for the FA Cup. Live for the
you
FA
too.
Cup.
Those days are gone. I remember, I was just saying off air, all those great cup final days when you get up early to watch all the build up, it's a cup final knockout, and now, even if you miss it. I mean, when I was a kid, I could reel off all the FA Cup winners, the scorers in the finals, everything. I knew everything about them. Now I can barely remember who won it last season. Ridiculous.
And Tom, you were saying how, because so much of the football nowadays is televised, it takes a little bit of the limelight away from the FA Cup.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even when I was, young and I was watching the FA Cup ties that came around, there was maybe one televised live game or a couple over a weekend, and the country stopped and watched it. And, you know, there was sort of a romance to it. I know the romance of the cup is maybe overused as a cliche, but there was, you know, that all the eyes were on it. And you haven't got many this weekend. You haven't got many of those ties, of a little team or a non-league team hosting a big league side. There's one on Sunday, which we'll touch on later, but you know, that those kind of matchups that just naturally kind of, you know, fed a narrative that even non-football fans wanted to watch. But even the non-football fans or the people who have a casual passing interest in the game aren't interested by the FA Cup because they just, it all rolls and merges into one. And, you know, a lot of them think they're going to be able to predict all the results this weekend. Can I just say, though, as well, forget the FA Cup, the League Cup this week, I did admire Jose Mourinho's stance of not acknowledging Hull had beaten them at the K-Cup Stadium. So I'm going to take that particular stance with the Naps for the remainder of the year. I just want to lay that out on the table right now. I will refuse to acknowledge losing Naps. There we go.
There's an interesting point there with William Hill because remember the year that you will obviously remember it, the Hand of God goal. Argentina beat England 2-1 in the World Cup quarterfinal, I think it was. Was it the quarterfinal? And Hill's actually paid out in the 2-1 result, but they also paid out on 1-1. They said that was the moral result, 1-1. So maybe Mourinho has been reading the history of William Hill there and sticking to that.
I love
moral victories. I'm the king of moral victories.
We're going to go through all the fixtures involving Premier League sides, and we'll start off with the televised matches, five of them involving Premier League teams this weekend. And it starts tonight with Derby versus Leicester. Derby are a 19-10 to win this game. The draw 21-10 with Leicester 17-10. The qualification odds, Derby 11-10, Leicester 4-6. Enhanced odds, a red card in the match was 11-4, now 7-2. Thomas Ince to score and Derby to win was 7-2, now 5-1. Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 18-5. That's been enhanced to 5-1. Derek, could we get a shock here and Leicester win this fixture?
You know what? I just couldn't believe how bad Leicester's away form was. I've just been looking at the league table. 11 games, this is the champions last season, 11 games away from home, 0 wins, 8 defeats, only 8 goals scored. Quite incredible. I mean, you know, what is incredible is that the favourites for this game against the Derby side, they were doing well in the championship. And yet, I can understand why your odds compilers, where they're coming from here. I've just got a sneaking fancy for Leicester. You know, they can't afford, this is a derby if you like, they can't afford to go, after what's happened in the last couple of weeks, they can't afford to lose this game. I mean, I know that it's on the fringes of a relegation dogfight, but they need to get victories from somewhere to get a bit, to get a bit of confidence back. Got a big game against Burnley in midweek as well in the league. And Claudio Ranieri played a strong team in the last round at Everton, got the result they wanted. I've just got a sneaking fancy for him to be going hell for leather for this game. And I'm not sure Derby will. And so I can understand why Leicester are favourites. In fact, what I'm saying is that at 17-10, it's not as miserly as it looks, although I am. So I'm going to go for Leicester here. It's one of those games, I can't really put a massively logical case. Well, I've got a real gut instinct. Some games just crop up and you've got a gut instinct about it. No one's going to back that because I say I've got a gut instinct, but I will.
Leicester City, Derek's pick at 17-10. They have lost back-to-back Premier League games 3-0 Leicester City. If you're looking at the other enhanced odds on the website, Darren Bent stands out here. For him to score in a derby 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 win was 15-2, now 8-1. He's actually scored in 9 of his last 10 FA Cup games, including all 4 for Derby. So Darren Bent in good goal-scoring form in this competition. What do you make of this game, Tom?
I agree what Derek's saying about Leicester. I've got a feeling for them too. I'd probably say that Leicester this season are a cup outfit, aren't they? The league's now a concern for them. I think it has been for a few months, but I don't necessarily think that Claudio Ranieri is he's thinking that. I think he still thinks, oh, there's enough in this team. He's changing his system. He's changing the formation. They went with that diamond in midfield last week. I don't think that will be forever. I think that's going to be gone. And I think I look at Leicester, I look at the way they've approached the Champions League. All right, they didn't have the toughest group, but you know, they're making their Champions League debut and they navigated through that, you know, extremely well. They've got one victory away from home domestically this season, and it came at Everton. You know, it was a good result for them. They were the better side that day. They deserved it in the last round of the FA Cup. So I think they're a team now that have almost, you know, reached the peak last season, and actually this campaign, they'll be looking at, you know, both cup competitions that they're still left in and thinking they can get towards the latter stages. The thing with Derby is they've also got a big game in midweek. They go down to Ipswich Town on Tuesday. And they are, you know, a couple of points outside the playoff place. There's no doubt where their priority lies. Their priority is, of course, to try and get promoted. They've spent vast amounts of money the last few years, Derby. And although they're on a little bit of a wobbly form going into this, they've only won 2 of their last 5 matches. They've lost 2 and drawn 1. At home, they tend to be pretty good. The 2 defeats they've had have been away at Norwich and away at Leeds. But at home, they're pretty strong, albeit they're playing better quality opposition. I think Leicester, the fact they're a cup team, I think Derby will be up for it. I don't think Steve McClaren will make loads of changes. I think he's got a squad that he can make 3 or 4, and he still doesn't necessarily weaken them to a massive degree. I think Derby are on home soil. I think they're good enough for goals. I can't see Leicester keeping a clean sheet. But I think Leicester will ultimately have enough to get through because I think the cups are kind of proving a positive distraction for them. But they need to refocus on the league. Big game for them in midweek, as Derek mentioned. So I'm going to play Leicester and both teams to score here. At 11-2. I think it'll be a fiery game. I think it'll be a good game, good atmosphere, and I think there'll be some goals in the match as well.
Very good. On to Liverpool versus Wolves at Anfield, which is a 12:30 kick-off on Saturday. This one's live on William Hill TV as well. Liverpool are 100-30 on to win this game. The draw 5-1, Wolves 9-1. Your odds will be available on this game as well. If you want to tweet a bet in to @WilliamHill, hashtag your odds, the compilers will price it up and put it on the William Hill website for you. The enhanced odds, Divock Origi to score and Liverpool to win was 11-10, now 5-4. Helder Costa to score and Wolves to win was 20-1. That's been enhanced to 25-1. Liverpool, 1 win in 7 in all competitions now, and that came in the FA Cup, Tom. Beaten and knocked out of the League Cup at the semi-final stage by Southampton midweek. Not crisis point for Liverpool, but Jurgen Klopp clearly is a little bit concerned about the way they're failing to break sides down at the moment.
Yeah, and what I've noticed from Liverpool, I'll let Derek get stuck into them, but just my observations are that they just don't look like they're playing with that same zip, that same tempo. I think fatigue is catching up with them. And people wondered at the start of the season, the first 3 or 4 months, could they maintain it? Could they play with that same sort of intensity? Mane's been a big loss for them this month, no question. Probably of all the players who've gone to the Africa Cup of Nations, you know, of all the clubs in the Premier League, they felt his absence more than any other. And they just don't seem to have it. The intensity and the pace that they played at meant it didn't matter how many players sat behind the ball, they were able to break them down just through sheer energy. That seems to be zapping a little bit. And I tell you what, the run of results they've had won't help those energy levels whatsoever. You know, I want to focus on Wolves here because Wolves are improving very quietly. People will look at the league table here and think, ah, Wolves, you know, they're a team that have to fight against relegation in the Championship. They won't go down, Wolves. There's too much quality in their squad. But what's gone on at Wolves is there's been a huge influx of players. Jorge Mendes has been involved. There's been a lot of Portuguese players that have come in. So there's been a different direction. And it hasn't worked. I'll tell you what, Paul Lambert's getting some results now. They've only lost 2 of the last 7. They're improving with every single game. And what he's doing is he's making them pretty solid defensively. And they do have some players, I think, that will feel, particularly Helder Costa, he will feel that this is his stage for him. You know, some of these players have been brought to England to almost be parked, you know, for hope for big transfers, maybe to the Premier League and looking to impress in the Championship. He's somebody that could cause Liverpool problems. And I've got no faith in backing Liverpool. And I know they're playing against, you know, weaker opposition than Swansea. weaker opposition than some of the teams they've played and lost against. But, you know, Wolves have got nothing left to play for this season. They've lost just two of the last eight away games. They were brilliant against Stoke in the last one, and Stoke had fancied to go quite far in the competition. 9-1 is a big, big prize, but I'm going to back them to get a result here and get the draw. I don't mind them on the draw, no bet, but I'm going to take the draw at 5-1. I think Paul Lambert will relish this opportunity to frustrate Liverpool, and I've got no faith in Liverpool at 3-10.
The draw 5-1. If you're looking at the qualification prices, Liverpool to qualify at 1-8, Wolves to qualify in the market at 9-2 here with William Hill. I don't know if you saw it, Derek, but that Liverpool fan on This Is Anfield, I don't know if you've seen the piece, but he had a rant for 2 minutes saying that Liverpool have turned into a tourist club, he called them, Derek, and Jurgen Klopp's clearly been annoyed by that. Is that distracting from what's actually happening on the pitch at the moment?
No, I don't think so. It's just what Tom says, you know, one or two other people have been saying in the press, when a team like Liverpool play the way they do with all that intensity, I mean, if you could do that all season long, every team would be doing it. You know what I mean? It was so successful in those early months. So you've got to be thinking, well, why haven't teams done this in the past? And it's because they go off the boil after Christmas. It was predicted by many, and that's exactly what's happened. And they've gone off the boil at just the wrong time when the weather is bloody freezing. I mean, punters have been lumping on Wolves this week. You know, I've seen that their price come down a bit. I mean, the snub from punters is quite surprising when you consider Liverpool are in the hunt for the title. But not as surprising as Liverpool being in the hunt for the title, because they're absolutely playing with no confidence and no zip right now. And Tom is dead right, 3-10. I mean, you wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. I warned punters off back in Liverpool in the last round, 1-6 they were at home to Plymouth. And they weren't playing anywhere near as badly then as they are now. The reason I did that was that I knew the team that Klopp would send out, it would be a severely weakened team. And I think he'll do that again as well. People might say, well, no, he needs a result here the way that it's going in the league. Nonsense. He'll still have a hope of winning that league, and they're playing Chelsea in midweek. There's no way he's going to be playing his big hitters against Wolves. And Wolves will cash in. They are improving, definitely. Their away form for the side in the bottom, you know, in the lower reaches is quite incredible, really. I mean, they've only lost 5 away from home this season. Leeds and Reading, who are 3rd and 4th, have lost more than they have. And they've hardly conceded any goals away from home either. And that's been Liverpool's Achilles heel, scoring goals. I can see Wolves winning this. I mean, the FA Cup has been painful for Liverpool in recent times. Remember the 1996 FA Cup final when the players all wore white suits and the fans all wore shell suits? I mean, since then, they haven't done too well since then either. I'm going for Wolves here. I've got a real strong fancy for them. Right now, Liverpool are the number one team you have to oppose.
Wolves 9-1 for Derek. Tom going with the draw at 5-1. Let's move on to the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Southampton versus Arsenal in an all Premier League tie. And Southampton are 13-5 to win the game. The draw 5-2. Arsenal 11-10. Qualification prices: Southampton 7-4 to qualify. Arsenal 2-5. Enhanced odds: Shane Long to score and Southampton to win was 9-2. Now 6-1, and Danny Welbeck to score and Arsenal to win was 13-5. That's been enhanced to 3-1. Derek, they must be the bane of your existence, Southampton.
It's just impossible to catch them, right, isn't it? It really is. I mean, they were sensational against Liverpool in midweek. I mean, people go on about, you know, the possession Liverpool had. But in my eyes, it never looked like scoring, whereas Southampton, every time they had the ball, did. It was an unbelievable, it was a real smash and grab raid by them, and all credit them, they deserved it. And they remember, they've beaten Arsenal already this season, albeit in the EFL Cup earlier in the season. It surprised me, because their form before that had not been that great, Southampton's, had it. You know, they beat Leicester 3-0, but a couple of bad results they had in the build-up to that game. But they were right at it from the word go. What worries me here is the players now, nothing at stake in the league. They're in the League Cup final. If they were to win the EFL Cup final, if they were to win that, that's a good season. Will they really put it on the line against Arsenal in this? It's a little bit of a worry. Arsenal put out a strong team in the last round against Preston, and the FA Cup has been kind to them. If it wasn't for those two recent FA Cup triumphs, their only item of silverware in almost 15 years would be that 10-pence piece Jamie Carragher threw into the crowd all those years ago. I mean, so they do turn it on in the FA Cup. You know, if Southampton were to give the kind of performance they gave at Anfield, they'd probably win this, because I'm not a big Arsenal fan, as you'll know, but I've got my doubts about their commitment. And I think, looking at the team Arsenal played against Preston, I think Wenger will play a strong team, so I'm going to go for Arsenal here. Did you say they were 11 to 10?
Yeah, 11 to 10, yeah. Derek.
Look, it seems a big price to me then.
Okay. Tom, this competition really has been kind to Arsenal. Derek mentioned it there. I think it's kept Arsene Wenger in a job, really. They've won it 2 of the last 3 years. They've won it 12 times in their history now. And Wenger, it seems weird. I know he wants to win the title, obviously, but it's not going to happen. And the FA Cup's an opportunity for him to win another trophy.
Well, it is. And normally Arsenal get, you know, good draws as well. You know, normally on the way through, they have quite a lot of cushy home games. But, you know, there's something about Arsenal in their form. I mean, take Southampton to start with. Southampton are a typical kind of, you know, peak and trough side. It's feast or famine for them nearly all the time. They've been on an awful run. Now they're on an incredible run, including those two cup games against Liverpool. You know, they should have won by more than the aggregate scoreline they had. And I want to be back in Southampton when they're in this kind of mood. I mean, even the injuries that they had in midweek, you know, should have weakened them. You know, middle-ranking Premier League side lose 2 or 3 of their better players. That should severely affect them. And it didn't. You know, players that came in did the job. And you know, I've been really impressed with what they're doing. And, you know, I think you've just got to catch them right. And I think at the moment, they're in a very, very good place. 4 wins from 5. Their only defeat came at Burnley, and everyone seems to be losing at Burnley. Whereas Arsenal, you know, they scraped past Burnley themselves in the last game. In the end, they scraped past Preston. It was 2-1. And away from home, that seems to be the story for them of late. They're scraping by. They're getting results. I mean, they did it against Bournemouth. Did it against Preston, albeit Swansea, you know, they went there and won 4-0, but that was like a training exercise. They'd lost to Man City, they'd lost to Everton. They don't necessarily have the backbone that I want to be back in this game, but Derek's right in terms of the motivation of Santa. Now, the only thing that I would think maybe against that is the fact that the League Cup final is a fair way away now. I think the players have got to be focused on this one, and they don't have anything in the league. So I think the focus for them is probably, you know, keeping it going. They're going to get a hero's welcome from the fans. You know, it's a great achievement. People deride, you know, some of the cup competitions this season. You know, for Southampton, it's been so long since they were in, you know, the League Cup final. And for their supporters, it's amazing. And I think generally there's a feel-good factor about them. So it's a long way around them. They're basically saying that I can't really trust Arsenal in this game. And, you know, I'm just somebody who wants to be back in teams when I think they're in a very good place. And I think Southampton, I don't think a huge amount is going to dramatically change over the course of 3 or 4 days. So I'm going to take Southampton to win. But again, I think there'll be goals in this one. So I quite like the 5-1 for Southampton to win at both teams to score. But it wouldn't surprise me if it ended up all square.
13-5 Southampton to win the game. On to Sunday's live matches. And we start with Millwall versus Watford at midday. Millwall 21-10. The draw 12-5. Watford 5-4. Enhanced odds, Lee Gregory to score. And Millwall to win was 7-2, now 4-1. And Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win was 16-5, now 7-2. Wise to put this one on at midday, I think. It's bound to be pretty tasty. And I think Millwall will fancy it as well. Stuff Bournemouth 3-0 in the third round. The fans will be well up for this. And I'm astonished that Walter Mazzarri is still in a job at Watford. Picked up good points from both Middlesbrough and Bournemouth, which has quelled the pressure, Tom, to a certain extent, but I'm still surprised that he's there, to be honest.
It's probably a lack of options. I think as soon as they identify somebody that they want to make the change with, they probably will do. And this weekend could be a defining weekend because, you know, Watford themselves, you know, I don't think they're going to get sucked into a relegation battle, but if they keep going the way they are doing, then they may well do because other teams below them have made changes and they haven't yet. So they might, you know, the owners might look at, you know, an FA Cup defeat at Millwall as probably enough of a reason to probably wield the axe. I don't fancy Watford at all here, and I think Millwall are probably one of my favourite bets. If we're looking at a typical FA Cup game, an FA Cup tie, this is it. Millwall haven't lost a game since before Christmas. Yes, they're still in the promotion hunt in League One, but I never want to be back in. I don't want to be back in Millwall at home. I know they had a bad spell at the New Den. I think last season it was, and they couldn't pick up a win for quite a period of time. But that's changed a little bit now. And, you know, they've got 4 of their next 5 games are all at home. They've got some big matches ahead. And the fans will be right for it. You talk about a tasty atmosphere. I've been down there to experience a playoff semi-final and numerous kind of high-profile matches between two sides going for promotion. And it's not a cliche. It's going to be tough for the Watford players. And I tell you what, there's one team in the Premier League I wouldn't want to be back in away from home at the New Den in a fiery atmosphere, and it's 100% Watford.
Yeah.
If I could handpick a team, it would be Watford because I watched how pathetic they've been in some of their away matches when it's been a roll up your sleeves job. They put in probably the worst display I've seen of a Premier League side at Burnley early on this season. I can't get it out of my head. So Watford are in no form. Millwall are rock solid at home. And these are the kind of matches the Millwall fans wait for. Plus, off the field, people might have followed the story, but there's been a lot with regard to, you know, Millwall's home and the future at the new Den. So the ruling has gone in their favour this week. They're staying at the new Den. They'll be delighted. I just think that adds an element to it. So 21-10, I think Millwall win this all day long.
I like this a lot, Derek. Millwall 21-10 to win the game.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that at all. I mean, the manager, Mazzarri, when you've got a manager, after that last week, when you've got a manager who can't even speak English, you know, you're up against it right away. And obviously something is being lost in translation, usually matches. They're hopeless. I mean, I mentioned that Liverpool are the number one team to oppose at the moment. Well, Watford are number two, without question. Unbelievably, they've got a very good record at Millwall. Quite incredible. Four of the last five visits they won there, including a 6-1 win a few seasons ago. But that won't happen this time. I think Millwall are very good bet too.
21-10 Millwall to win that game. Last of the televised matches is 4 p.m. Sunday, and it's Old Trafford to which we head for Manchester United versus Wigan. 56 straight televised matches for Manchester United in the FA Cup, and they're 2-11 to win this one. The draw 13-2 with Wigan 16-1 to qualify. 1-20 Manchester United with Wigan 8-1, and the enhanced odds: Marouane Fellaini to score and Manchester United to win was 11-4, now 7-2, and Will Grigg to score and Wigan to win was 22-1. Now 33-1. Wayne Rooney got a good record against Wigan, Derek. He scored 10 goals in his previous 15 games against Wigan. Actually got two in three of those matches as well. Is this a comfortable home victory here for Manchester United, Derek?
Well, it should be. It should be, shouldn't it? And you can't imagine, like, Liverpool with a similar price to beat Plymouth in the last round. You can't imagine whatever team Mourinho sends out, it will be as weak as the Liverpool team sent out that day against Plymouth. So they should do. They should beat Wigan easily. Wigan, we know they're struggling at the bottom of the Championship. I say struggling, but their last three results have been good. They've shown signs of an upturn. But remember when they were in the Premier League and they'd go to Man United or they'd play Man United at home and they'd get bumped 4-5-0 every game. Wasn't it a sequence where they never ever scored against them in about a million games? What do you say about fixtures like this? It's impossible to make a case for Wigan. I mean, if I was Wigan now, I'd be going for the day out. And, you know, they're worried about relegation in the Championship. They've got to surely concentrate on that. And especially the way their form has improved recently. What you've got to look for here is the handicap. Will United go for it, you know, all guns blazing when you've got a Premier League game in midweek? I'm not sure that they will. So maybe there's a, you know, given Wigan's upturned form, there might be an argument for going for them with a two-goal start, maybe, at 29-20. But even there, I'm not convincing myself. I really don't know what to say here. It's a 2-11 poke that should win by a cakewalk. What do you do in a picture like that? Ask Tom.
Well, I tell you, the only team from Wigan I want to be back in to win at Old Trafford is the Wigan Warriors in the Super League Grand Final. You know, Wigan and Sammy, look, Warren Joyce, you know, who did great things at Manchester United, looking after the youth team, in charge of Wigan now. There's a little bit of nostalgia there on that side of it. But I know a Wigan fan, and he's going to the game, and he's the most unenthusiastic man with an FA Cup ticket to a game at Old Trafford I've ever seen. He's doing it solely out of duty because he just says we always get thumped. You know, even when Wigan were getting those big results, you know, to stay up, they never beat Manchester United. You know, their run against them so poor. It's not going to change here. I mean, Manchester United at Hull on Wednesday night at home, pretty comfortable game, also they were beaten in midweek in the league. You know, whereas Wigan host Sheffield Wednesday on Friday. That is it's a huge, huge game for them because, you know, they're on the back of three wins on the spin. So they're coming into this probably in their best form of the season. And Warren Joyce is getting things right at Wigan. They haven't got a bad side, but they've got no chance in this one. And I don't know. I probably look at some of the goal scorers and say, you know, I'm kind of more attracted to them than even handicaps. I mean, you know, even Manchester United with a double result, 4-9, you know, if there going to be loads of goals? I never think a Mourinho side is going to run riot, so I don't think we're going to end up with loads. I don't know whether Wigan can score. So I'm looking at some of the goal scorers here. Anthony Martial's been in the headlines. I think it might be the kind of game that he throws him in if the bust-up hasn't been as bad as as maybe it's being made out. And someone like Marouane Fellaini, I've seen he's part of the enhanced odds. Marouane Fellaini to score Manchester United to win at 7-2. This fixture has Fellaini's face all over it. I mean, I can just see a pretty dull game and a set piece and him nodding in a goal. So I don't mind that at all. I just kind of look at some of the fringe players at Manchester United and get some prices there. But it will probably be a 2-0 job done kind of score.
If that isn't enough to put you off, Fellaini's face being all over a fixture, yeah. I don't know what is. On to the non-televised matches involving the Premier League sides. And then we'll start at White Hart Lane with Tottenham versus Wickham. And Tottenham are 1-6 to win the match. The draw 6-1. Wickham 16-1. To qualify, Tottenham 1-20 with Wickham 8-1. Spurs came from 2-0 down to rescue a point against Manchester City at the Etihad last weekend. Good performance. Wickham going pretty well in League Two, Tom. Unbeaten in their last 16 in all competitions. But both teams have scored in their last six fixtures, which shows they're not exactly watertight defensively.
No, they're not. I mean, you know, first of all, with Wickham, they are on an absolutely sensational run, which is why they've been able to get to this stage, you know, of the FA Cup. You know, they've been very impressive, but their victory in the last round was against Stamford Bridge at home. This is by far and away the toughest test, and you know, I like it when I see a team, even from a few divisions below, you know, playing with momentum. But they're up against a very good side, a side that, you know, let me down last week at Manchester City. I fancied them; they did not play well. They basically had two shots, didn't they? And managed to come away with the result, and that kind of shows the resilience they've got. Tottenham are going to make a lot of changes, you would expect. They go up to Sunderland on Tuesday night. I think it'll be a chance for Pochettino to completely rotate his squad. There's no chance people like Harry Kane and Dele Alli are going to be on the pitch. But there's lots of goals in this one for Spurs. The step-up's going to be far too big. I know they've got Akin Fenwa, of course, up front for Wickham, and you know, just seeing him at White Hart Lane, he's going to be a bit of a spectacle. But Wickham are just not going to get anywhere near them. Tottenham will keep them at arm's length. They're 8 games unbeaten. They've kept 8 clean sheets in their 13 home matches. So this is a comfortable Tottenham win. Take them on a handicap, -2, would probably be where I would head. But I also like some of the goal scorers. And again, I'm just looking at players here that have impressed me, but aren't necessarily first-choice players. And Heung-Min Son is the player I'd go for here to score 2 or more at 100-30. You know, once Kane and Dele Alli have moved aside, players that step up to the mark. And Son's got a decent goal-scoring record, so he'd be my player to score 2 or more against Wickham at 100-30.
I love Akin Fenwa because he gives hope to us all, Derek. He gives hope to us all.
Every Sunday morning when I used to play, I came up against players like him. Oh, God, it was a nightmare. It's just a gift for Tottenham, this. I mean, Wickham, you know, you say they were on an unbelievable run, but they've only drawn 3 of their last 4 matches. And you look at Tottenham, they put 4 past Watford recently, put 4 past Southampton recently, put 4 past West Brom recently. Why won't they put 4 past Wickham? -2 at even money, Tottenham. That looks the bet to have.
Does look a good bet, that. -2 Tottenham at even money. Let's move on. Chelsea versus Brentford in the West London derby. Chelsea 1-5 to win the game. The draw 6-1. Brentford in the betting at 14-1. Enhanced odds, Victor Moses to score and Chelsea to win was 5-2, now 3-1. And I suppose that's the only enhanced odds you'll be looking at here. From a Chelsea perspective, responded very well to being beaten by Spurs. Chelsea won back-to-back Premier League matches against Leicester and Hull without conceding. Hull did give them a bit to think about last weekend, Derek, but
yeah, they did.
This should be straightforward for Chelsea.
Well, it's Groundhog Day, this bulletin. It's another 1-5 poke against, you know, a big team at home against, you know, token opposition. You know, what can you say? You can't make a case for anything other than a convincing Chelsea win, can you? They have bounced back from that setback. I mean, everybody was hoping that the wheels would fall off, but it's been quite the opposite. And Brentford have come into this game on the back of 2 straight defeats, one of them against Wigan. You know, it's hardly the form you want coming into this. What can you say? I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to play the Tottenham route, Chelsea -2, which is a bit more than even. It's 5-4.
You don't believe in the magic of the FA Cup, do you, Derek?
I don't believe in the magic or the romance. The only way the FA Cup is romantic is romantic. Romance costs me a bundle, and generally so does the FA Cup.
Chelsea and Brentford, by the way, last met in the FA Cup in 2012-2013. And on that occasion, Chelsea needed a fourth round replay to see off Brentford. Tom, 1-5 Chelsea.
Yeah, 1-5, and it's pretty similar to Tottenham. The only possible difference here is, although I mentioned Tottenham are going to rest players, Chelsea will as well, because, of course, they've got that game against Liverpool, which, probably looking at Liverpool, you know, a month ago, everyone was looking at that game and looking at Chelsea's kind of next few matches in the league and thinking these are going to be crucial, because they've got Liverpool, Arsenal coming up in the next couple of weeks. So, but now with Liverpool's form, of course, maybe that proposition doesn't look as tough as it did, and maybe Conte will keep his players going in the rhythm that they've kind of become accustomed to. He hasn't made huge changes to his team, so I think he likes keeping that core of players together. Having said that, there will be changes to the team. It's kind of who sort of steps up and takes the mantle. And Batshuayi is probably somebody you should probably have a look at. He's 4-5 any time, but he's 100-30 to open a scoring in this one. I think there will be goals. I think in terms of a big scoreline, I think it's more likely at White Hart Lane than it is at Stamford Bridge, because I just don't necessarily think it's sometimes in Chelsea to do that. But again, you know, Brentford aren't arriving in any kind of great form. The problem with Brentford is, and this happens to a lot of Championship sides now, you know, even with 3 months of the season to go, they don't really have a lot else to play for. They ain't going down because they are too good for that. There's too many teams below them. But they're not troubling the top six, and the players are going to coast now for the remaining months. So this is their last chance on a big stage to maybe do something, but they're not going to be able to. Their away form's not being good. And whenever they go away to a decent side of the Championship, they come unstuck. They don't win where you wouldn't expect them to. So I'd back Chelsea, but again, I'd look at some goal scorers, and I can't look maybe too far away from the -1, -2 handicaps again.
Crystal Palace versus Manchester City next, and Palace are 5-1 to win this match. The draw 100-30 with Man City 1-2. Christian Benteke to score and Palace to win was 17-2, now 10-1. Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win was 11-5. Now 3-1. Palace won't be trying here, will they, Tom? Sam Allardyce will know that survival is the only thing for the football club this season, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he fielded a seriously weakened side here.
So he'll name his full strength side.
Pretty much.
I mean, you're right, Dave. I mean, but to suggest, like, you know, they won't be trying means they could try if they wanted that. I don't think they've got the two options, Palace, at the moment. I mean, we talked about it last week. Someone needs to shake Allardyce up, because at no point have they shown any improvement. They are not showing a drop of improvement. And Palace fans, I think, would back me up on that statement. So I don't know. I mean, they need a result. You know, if they were to get a result in this kind of game, it could change things for them. It could. I've seen it happen. We've all seen it happen. You know, it might not be the 3 points that they need, but if they were to produce the shock and beat Manchester City, it's a huge if. But if they were, it would help the league form. I don't think they're in a position at the moment where they can be picky and choosy, because, you know, the teams below me, Swansea, are 2 points clear of them now. And, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, you'd never have said that. So I think it's quite an important game for Palace. The problem they've got, though, is their home form has completely deserted. They've got awful. I mean, they've won 2, lost 7 at home. But they have scored in 8 of the 12. This is where I'm going with this game. They've scored in 8 of the most recent 12 matches at home. They've only kept 2 clean sheets. So they're leaky at home, but they can score. Man City are just leaky in general, but they've conceded in 14 of the last 18 of all their away games this season. So away from home, they can't keep a clean sheet. City will win, because I think Pep will now look at bringing some kind of... He can salvage the season with a top-four finish and a piece of silverware in the FA Cup or, you know, the Champions League, but that's not going to happen. So I'm going to play Man City and both teams to score here, based on both teams. Both have the ability of scoring, but I can't trust either defence. So Palace have got no chance of winning, but I don't want Man City 1-2. I want them with both teams to score at 11-5.
I like that. Man City to win and both teams to score is available 11-5. Derek?
I like that as well. I mean, I was just looking at some stats today. I'm not the biggest fan of stats, but the City, I've got the... In matches that to produce over 2.5 goals, 73% of the City's matches this season have done that, a league high in the Premier League. Mm. And 68% of their matches have seen both sides scoring as well, again, a Premier League high. They won at Palace earlier in the season in November, 2-1, both sides scored. City will win. I don't think Palace will be up for it, because Allardyce is yet another reason to be grateful that you're not a Palace fan. I don't think all he's wanting to do is keep Palace up. He's not interested in the FA Cup. He doesn't make any secrets of that. City will win and both teams will score. That's a very good bet indeed.
On to Burnley. Their take on Bristol City. And Burnley are 4-6 to win the match. The draw 14-5 with Bristol City 9-2. To qualify 2-5 Burnley. Bristol City 7-4. The enhanced odds, Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win, was 17-10, now 2-1. And Tammy Abraham to score and Bristol City to win was 11-2, now 7-1. And Burnley beat Bristol City 4-0 in their last meeting. And the aforementioned Andre Gray scored a hat-trick in that game. And they've actually lost their last four games against Burnley, Bristol City, conceding 13 goals in the process. They've only got one win in 10 as well. That win came against Fleetwood in the third round of the competition. And this is a team, Derek, that are struggling to keep their head above water in the Championship.
Yeah, they're losing to everybody. Their manager's in serious jeopardy. Burnley will win this. 4-6 is actually, you don't really want to back Burnley at odds on, but that looks a very fair price against a team who are losing to everybody. One thing I would say about Bristol City is that though they're losing to everybody, they're not getting mullered. You know, they're losing by the odd goal more often than not. They got through against Fleetwood in the last round. Big deal. You know, you mentioned Andre Gray. I watched him against Arsenal last week. He's a better player than I thought. I think he's a very tidy player indeed, and I'll be amazed if he's not in one of the bigger clubs next season. I was really impressed with him. And he's 13-10 to score at any time. I wouldn't put anybody off that. I think he looks a very, very serious player. Burnley to win at 4-6. Yeah, banker material, that.
4-6 Burnley to win the game. You've talked about Andre Gray in the past on this podcast, Tom, saying that he's not quite clinical enough.
No, but you know, I think a lot of players, when they make the step up through all the divisions and they get to the Premier League, I think that learning curve of having only one chance. You know, I watched Andre Gray a lot in the Championship, and he would regularly, in a very good side, would get four or five chances. And if he stuck two away, he'd had a very good afternoon. Premier League, you don't get that. You get one, maybe two if you're lucky, when you're playing for a team like Burnley. So you've got to stick them away. You're not going to get another chance. And that's why the pressure builds on a player in front of goal. If they miss one, they're worried they're not going to get another. Where it's different lower down the league. So that's one of the main differences between the divisions. But he is a very good player because he's got all the attributes you need. Strong, quick, good in the air. He's aggressive as well in the right way. And there's another player on the pitch on Saturday in this game that fits that bill as well, and it's Tammy Abraham. Bit of a different way through. He's on loan from Chelsea. He's consistently scored goals for a Bristol City side that are so attack-minded. Lee Johnson just cannot find any other way of playing. You know, they've been on a horrendous run, basically ever since the manager signed a new contract there. But Abraham's the bright spark for them. He's not their player, but he's another player that's going to get lost in the Chelsea system. He's going to end up signing for a Middlesbrough or something, probably. But he's got five in his last eight. He's scored a hell of a load of goals this season. So I actually quite fancy Bristol, particularly with their away form in terms of scoring goals, not getting a result. They're not going to win a game here because much better sides than Bristol have got a Turf Moor and come away with nothing. But I quite like Tammy Abraham to score. The score Wincast here, I've priced up. It's 11-2 for Tammy Abraham to score any time and Burnley to win the game. Because I think, you know, Burnley will make a few changes, but actually they could go on a little cut on themselves. You know, the league's not as pressing a concern as it might have been at this stage of the season. So I don't mind that. I think it might be quite an open game. I don't think it will be treated with the same defensive resilience as Sean Dyche treats sort of the home Premier League game. So that will be my selection in this one. I think there'll be a few goals, but Burnley will win.
And we finish with Fulham versus Hull. Fulham 11-10 to win the match. The draw 13-5. Hull 23-10. The enhanced odds, Chris Martin to score and Fulham to win, was 21-10, now 5-2. And Abel Hernandez to score and Hull to win was 9-2, now 6-1. Definitely seen an upturn, Tom, in Hull's form. But they're likely to lose Robert Snodgrass. Suggestions yesterday evening that he's on the verge of joining West Ham now. And Ryan Mason's absent. He fractured his skull last weekend. And I suppose that's why Fulham are such a short price in the market here. Maybe have a look at a missed penalty as well. Fulham taking penalties this season. They've had 9 of them, missed 7, and missed one on Tuesday night as they lost 1-0 in the Championship to Reading. Do you think these prices are right? Should Fulham be this short to win at home against a Premier League side?
Yeah, maybe they're maybe a little bit shorter than I expected. I mean, Fulham... Talk about Fulham first. People ask me, you know, I watch a lot of Championship football, say, who's the best team that you've seen this season? And I maintain that it's still Fulham.
Right.
You know, I've seen them very early on in the season and they were brilliant. You know, Jukanovic is doing a really good job there under quite testing circumstances. They've sold their better players in recent years. They've had to delve into the loan market for somebody like Chris Martin. There's been issues there. They stood firm with him. I'm really impressed with Jukanovic. You know, I think he's going to be a manager that is either going to eventually steer Fulham back to the Premier League, or he's going to get snapped up by, say, a Watford, for example, maybe again, because I like the way that he goes about things. So Fulham are a team, you ask most Championship football fans, and I guarantee most of them will say Fulham have impressed them. And at home, they're pretty solid. When they get going, they can hammer teams. They've had a few 5-0s against good sides. You know, it seems like Reading, I think, and Huddersfield were heavily beaten on home soil. And only Brighton managed to get a victory the other week, but they're obviously a top side, and they managed to do it in a kind of crazy game. Hull, you know, the signals they're sending out is basically their surrender. I've never known. There's a lot of clubs at the moment in this country where there are issues with the ownership and the direction the club's heading and the fan base. But I don't think I've known probably a club with such disconnect, especially during a great period of time. I mean, you look at Hull, you know, their fans should be jumping from the rooftops. You know, for a club that size that basically were in the fourth division for a lot of my lifetime, they've been in the Premier League a few times. They've been in an FA Cup final. You know, generally, they've had some good players come through the door, and now they're flogging, you know, their star players, Livermore, Snodgrass. They're basically surrendering, and they're potentially selling them to rivals as well in the Premier League. So I don't know what's going on at Hull. And having said that, something about the team, whenever I see them play, I think, oh, they're a spirited group. They play well. And they're coming away from defeats with plaudits. But again, they made so many changes against Manchester United, and everyone went, oh, well, Manchester United is going to be a cakewalk. And they win the game, at home. So I don't know what to expect from Hull. I can't sort of trust them either way. I still think there's a good resilience there. But Fulham, I know more about Fulham than I do about Hull. And I back them here. I think they're a team that's still in that promotion hunt just. But the momentum gets going the way that they play football. I fancy them to win the game. They're just a little bit on the short price for me. So again, I'll probably play something I've played on a few of these cup ties. The match is up, both teams to score. And I'll play them at 3-1. But I will understand why people will look at Hull as the Premier League outfit at 23-10, despite their absentees, and go, that's a good price.
Derek, I think they've got a good manager now in Marco Silva. I'm not sure he's got the resources at his disposal to improve the team massively. No. But I think he's going to turn out to be a really good manager.
They've shown a massive upturn since he got there. That performance against United in midweek was sensational, given that they were severely weakened. They might say, well, let's throw in a towel in the FA Cup, because we haven't got to Wembley. We're in serious jeopardy in the league. Let's concentrate on that. But I'm not sure they will under this manager. The form they're showing right now, I like the look of them. And you're right, Fulham are way too short there. I was amazed when I seen these prices. I mean, even if I'd fancied Fulham, I'd have to go off them at 11-10. Way, way too short. Hull are looking at a proper side now. You know, they've beaten Bournemouth recently. They've beaten Swansea recently. Teams that, you know, they needed to beat, and they did it. And if they turn up fully committed here, I think that those odds will look daft. So I'm going to go for Hull.
Hull 23-10. That's almost a wrap, chaps, for the FA Cup fourth round. Just one final word on Sutton United versus Leeds, because you'll be heading to Sutton for this game. They're 9-2, Tom, to win the game, Sutton United. 14-5, the draw. Leeds, another win midweek, 4-6.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the build-up to this game has been about the artificial surface that they've got at Sutton. You know, the 4G pitch, which might be some kind of leveler, but I can't see it myself. I mean, the one thing I'd say from Leeds' point of view is they went to Cambridge. It was on the box. Everyone was looking at that thing and thinking Cambridge were flying in the league. You know, Leeds had weakened their side, made eight, nine changes to the team, and at half time they were trailing. But they came through that. That was a decent sort of lesson for the players. I think it could potentially be similar, but I know the pitch might play its part, but after 5-10 minutes that'll settle down. Leeds actually went to Sutton in 1970 on the way to the FA Cup final and beat Sutton 6-0. They signed a Sutton player off the back of that game because John Faulkner kept Mick Jones quiet. Alan Clark scored 4, but Mick Jones didn't score, so Don Reedy signed him based on that performance. I don't think we'll be signing any Sutton player this weekend. But I think Leeds would get the job done. Sadly, I think if you're looking for that, what we started the podcast talking about, you know, the kind of magic and a big upset, this is the only game for me of all the fixtures where you're thinking this will be a, you know, one for the ages, one if Sutton could manage to produce the victory. Leeds beat them 6-0 in 1970, so I'm going to go for the same scoreline at 150-1.
Leeds 4-6 to win that game. Derek, are you back with us?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that.
Just cut off. I thought you'd got fed up. Fed up with
we're talking about Leeds. Switch off.
No naps this weekend, chaps.
Thank God.
We have a tough enough time picking them in the Premier League, so we're not going to do the fourth round of the FA Cup. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the podcast this weekend. Check out all the betting on the William Hill website for the fourth round of the FA Cup. And myself, Derek and Tom, back midweek for the full fixture list in the Premier League, chaps?
Yes, look forward to it.
Yeah, very good. So we'll be back to give you a full rundown of the fixtures in the Premier League on Tuesday and on Wednesday. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and we'll be back midweek.
Now at William Hill, you can get your bet onto the website for featured matches. If there's a bet you fancy that's not on the app, just tweet with the hashtag #YourOdds to @WilliamHill, and the traders will try to price it up. Hashtag #YourOdds from William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.